Okay, so this is the second presentation for this session, and after the presentation, we will break for the networking at 3:20, is it? Right. Okay. It's my pleasure to introduce you our next speaker, Matt Lanrock. He is the CEO of Cryptomatic. Yeah. And here you go. Welcome.
All right. Thank you very much. I realize we've got just 10 minutes between now and the break, so let's try to go through it. What this talk is about is a concept called BYOK, and that's being talked a lot about in the cloud space. We've been examining it a little bit, as the title of my talk suggests, it's a good thing, but it's not quite enough on its own. And that's what we'll be talking about today. Just super briefly about me and the company I represent. One business for 30 years. We're a software company, and we use hardware security modules extensively, security peripherals. And we do a lot of work in key management, helping manage keys across very hybrid systems. And so that's where my interest comes from. Let's move straight on. BYOK, bring your own key. And that sounds pretty straightforward. It suggests a one-way mechanism from the perspective of a cloud computing provider, your key into my cloud. That way, when I help you do stuff, it's based on your key and you control the crypto in it. So that sounds like a nice premise. Of course, the word key tends to be generally understood in a very broad sense. You've got symmetric keys, you've got asymmetric keys, sometimes you've got general purpose type of crypto, both on the symmetric and asymmetric side, corresponding certificates. Sometimes you've got master derivation keys and derivation schemes and stuff like that. Tends to be more in the financial services space and other specialty spaces, a little bit outside of your general crypto space. But of course, in the context of cloud service providers, key seems to have been assigned a little bit more of a limited meaning. And that might just be initially, right? But it's certainly, everybody thinks about encryption and then some think about a bit more. So let's have a little bit of a look at the market space out there. There are a bunch of cloud service providers out there that provide their implementations of the Elastic Cloud to you and allow you to run your services and your products there. We've looked at three major cloud services providers, Amazon AWS, Microsoft Azure, and Google Cloud Platform. And those are the ones I'll be talking a bit about here. Of course, others exist too, and they're a bit outside of the scope of what we're talking about here. The main purposes in all implementations appear to be promoting direct integration into their own services. So you could, at least it appears that, you know, if I want to do encryption, well, it's nice if I've chosen this one cloud services provider and I use everything they've got, then it becomes very easy for me to grow and stay on that platform. And they offer some external APIs and capabilities. All three offer some sort of key management service and cryptographic APIs. So let's try to look a bit more into that. On the left, you've got Microsoft Azure, in the middle, Amazon AWS, and on the right, Google Cloud Platform. On this slide, we look a bit at key management, the key management services offered related to BYOK. And I say related to BYOK because you'll find other cryptographic services as well on some of these platforms, and that I'm leaving out for the purposes of this discussion. In the Microsoft Azure space, the hardware security modules behind this, the HSMs in question are Talus and Shield HSMs. In the Amazon AWS series, it's the Gemalto Luna SA series. In Google, as far as I'm aware, there are no HSMs currently. In terms of the crypto that's being offered, that tends to differ a little bit from your provider to provider. if we look in the Asia space, we're talking AES 128 and 256, we're also talking RSA keys or key pairs. Whereas in AWS and Google Cloud, we're talking AES or strictly AES. Where they tend to differ quite a bit is in terms of the BYOK protocol or format. Of course, true to the HSM vendor in question, in the Microsoft Azure world, you'd use TALOS commands and tools to actually upload or provision your key. In the AWS space, you'd do it subject to the Luna SA, and so you'd wrap your key using PKCS1. In the Google space, you'd also wrap your key, only here you use RSA or AP padding. If we look at the data at rest encryption, and that's something that's very central, at least right now, to BYOK in the form of cloud services providers. The idea is, you know, you can put stuff into the cloud and you can make sure that when it's at rest, it's encrypted. And sometimes a little bit more. So if we look at the data at rest, oh, there's a little typo, data at rest encryption. In the Asia space, we've got AES 128 bits and 256 bits. It's accompanied with a rights management policy, which is going to suggest certain purposes for using these keys. In the AWS space, it's strictly AES GCM Galois counter mode, both 128 bit and 256. In the Google case, it's purely AES GCM 256. If we look at the services and APIs available, certainly you've got encrypt and decrypt across the board. Of course, the algorithms tend to suggest what some of the possibilities are. On the Microsoft side of things, you can sign and verify, and I should say, out of fairness to the AWS side of things, if you rent one of their cloud HSMs, of course you can do that too. They offer a PKCS 11 interface, but that is not necessarily part of the BYOK discussion. So that's kind of what's available today. So my take on it is that BYOK, bring your own key, is an important tool, but it you know, it shouldn't be the only tool in your toolbox, right? Because there's more to do. And so a few observations. BYOK will help you get your own generated key into the cloud, and that's certainly great. Because that means that you have confidence that it was generated according to your standards. You don't feel it was generated by some third party who has access to it. Of course, they could still have access to it, probably. But you have some sort of assurance that at least this is a good key because you were able to provide it. Of course, there's also the other possibility of having the CSP generated on your behalf. I think probably the CSPs, and one should, of course, ask them to know, but I'm speculating that they don't necessarily like to generate the key for you because it opens up a bit of a can of worms. If they generate it, maybe they could be told they own it and they could be told to disclose it, and they wouldn't like to get into that. Now, the cloud service provider will, of course, handle the key for you in the sense that once you've submitted your key, obviously, in order to support the Elastic Cloud model, it has to be propagated onto to a bunch of different platforms in terms of hardware and virtualized systems in order to run for you, but the idea is you put it in there. But there's not really a facility to export it. So if you want to be able to know that key that you've used, you should better be sure you've backed it up somehow. So save a copy. If we look at, you know, again, just taking a step back from these three cloud implementations or cloud service provider implementations, we notice that BYOK has slightly different meanings. And if we start to look at other companies, there might be companies such as, there's for instance one I came across, Salesforce. They talk about bring your own encryption key. So you'll notice that there are different variants and monikers, and BYOK means slightly different things. Of course, the basic idea remains that you bring your own key. But what's interesting is that you have to speak a lot of different dialects, so to say, in terms of key management, to actually get them on to those different platforms that you want to work with. And so let's talk about an idea that expands the BYOK concept: manage your own key. So if you want to start managing your own keys, it's implied that you can work with your keys in a secure manner. You can provision keys to where they're needed. You're able to manage the life cycle of the keys that you manage. And that means the generation, the import and the export of keys, backing up and restoring them, in terms of talking about versions of keys, updating keys from one value to a new one, rolling them back, recovering, in terms of public keys, certifying, recertifying before the old certificates expire, and revoking, of course. Ideally, of course, you need to be able to do this in a way that's meaningful to your business, and a central system that's available to you and under your sole command. And what do I mean by that? Well, if I start spinning stuff up in the cloud, which is really convenient for me, I don't even have to set up my data centers, etc. I can start doing things that I want to do in the cloud, and I can start doing them securely. And I want to be in control. And of course, if I'm in control, well, that's very important that I remain in control of those keys. So the next couple of slides I'm going to go through real fast, because I know we're out of time, even if I haven't spent my full time yet. I'd like to talk to you about an example of an MYOK manage your own key solution. We've noticed over the years that keys are managed in very different ways. Sometimes it's through terminal windows, such as you see here on the left. Sometimes it's through different APIs, as we've seen from the cloud service providers. So replacing and unifying those is something we've found that is extremely helpful to a lot of organizations. In terms of the key lifecycle management, I think it's very important to realize, and the reason why I'm pointing this out is I think too many people forget about it, is that key management is more than just keys. It's also a key name, it's an algorithm, it's a length, it's a bunch of export settings, because of course a key only makes sense within a given context. And so it's not enough to manage your key, you have to be able to use it too. And so it's in making those bindings that it becomes important. And in terms of the bigger picture, usage logs, being able to find out what has happened to a key, when was it managed, by whom, what's the lifecycle status, which version are we on, what custom data is supported, that's all part of managing the lifecycle of keys. Finally, I want to just say that as we work with our clients with very hybrid infrastructures, whether they're mainframes or HP non-stop systems or whatever, you've got a ton of formats. And in one of the opening talks yesterday, Johan Dahmen mentioned that it would be nice if there was a format for wrapping keys or an envelope. And I agree with him to some extent. There are a lot of formats, and I'll just throw them all up on the screen here, but essentially some of them are very specific to the hardware security module in question. Some are more specific to trying to create a standard. Some are more specific to a type of control in terms of what can a key be used for. And so as you'll see, as you start looking at these different ones, you'll realize that some of them become very hardware security module specific, while others are more generic, but then they lose some information. And that's all good and okay. If you're managing the keys for your organization, you need to be aware of this, and you need to be able to essentially export and work with all of those formats. A sound architecture is important, I think, in today's world of managing keys for cloud-oriented environments as well as hybrid environments with with mainframes and what might there be. It's very important to have an architecture that supports that. You need a system that can run in your lab without necessarily having to go full way to the data center. What we've got schematically here on the right is we've got a system, your key management system. We've got an HSM, which is FIPS 142 level 3 certified. We've got chip cards for the operator, which are also FIPS 142 level 3 certified. And we've got PCI PED certified pin pads for when we need to export keys and shares. That's not particularly relevant for the BYOK example, but it's very relevant when you get into more hybrid infrastructures. And that is my talk. Thank you very much.
Yes, so you talk about who generates the key. So the customer generates the key and uploads it. Is the idea that the cloud service provider cannot see the key or not?
The idea is often that the cloud service provider cannot see the key. If we recall some of the wrapping schemes, you had RSA OAEP, for instance, or you had RSA PKCS1, or you had the TALIS variant. And there the idea is that the cloud service provider actually provides you with a public key that corresponds to a private key that only the HSM knows. So yes, the idea is that the cloud service provider does not know that key and cannot know that key. And I think that's also something that by design they would not like to know that key because they don't want to be forced to give it to someone else. Yeah. But of course, by design, then of course they can't give it back to you either. And that's why you need to think twice probably. Yeah. Good question. Any other questions? No? Otherwise, I'm around. Yeah. Oh, there's one. Go ahead, Stephanie.
So, one of the big problems with BYOK that I've noticed in researching it is that when you upload your key, your chain of custody cannot be validated because you're taking it out of your network. You may have generated it on premises, but when you put it in their cloud, you cannot, without a doubt, say that it wasn't exposed somewhere. So, the manage your own key solution that you were talking about, how does it take back that chain of custody and validate it?
No, I think that's an excellent question. I think first and foremost, you have to be able to trust your cloud service provider. If you don't trust them, right, then they could give you a public key to use to wrap your keys that in fact is not protected as we hoped it would be. So you want a strong contractual relationship with your cloud service provider. You'll want also some assurances in writing, certainly. And finally, of course, you have to also realize that we're putting some trust into these guys. And that's maybe the biggest point. Yeah. One more question, yeah?
So if the cloud service provider gives you a public key, an encryption public key, and you wrap your key with their public key, they have the private key to decrypt it.
Inside their HSMs, yes.
Oh, inside their HSMs?
Yes.
Okay, so...
At least in the case of AWS and Microsoft, right? With Google, I don't necessarily know yet because I'm not aware that Google are using hardware security modules.
So there is some mechanism that prevents them to, once it's in the HSM, to see it?
That would be a non-exportable key. A non-exportable key. That's a key that can go into the HSM, but can only, at the most, will be able to leave the key in an encrypted variant protected under another key that cannot leave the HSM. So you create this security zone, essentially. And that's functionality that the HSM support today.
Right. So that would answer the question about the custody, the chain of custody.
Yes.
Because
it does, but of course it all hinges on the trust, right? You have to trust your partner in this, yeah? You have to trust whether it's Google or AWS, and you have to trust TALIS, and you have to trust Gemalto, right? Yeah. Good questions. Thank you. All right.